Thank you for organizing this nice symposium, and thank you, Rin, for the many contributions for promoting soil physics and also for assisting many of us here through the years. The topic of my talk here is a bit of a new look at an old problem, and that is the problem of motion of interfacial fronts, displacement fronts in porous media. Many of the ingredients of the problem are known for decades or even a century if you look back to Green and Amped. What we bring here is a little bit of new tools and a bit of dynamics that has been mentioned here in the last two talks into bear into clarifying some of the issues here. I'd like to acknowledge my co-author, Francisca Mubius. She's a PhD student in my group. So we are all familiar with displacement fronts, wetting and drainage fronts in unsaturated soils. We know them as part of infiltration, redistribution. And we kind of, if I run a quick survey here, we'll feel quite comfortable that we can describe them with our models. I mentioned Green and Amped already from 1911. However, if we take a close look at what happens at one of these points here at the front, what we see is that the seemingly smooth macroscopic motion that we think or we're comfortable with is actually, when you zoom in at the pore scale, nothing there looks smooth or regular. The motion itself is composed of many, many jumps at very high speeds, including interfacial motions, pressure jumps, and so on, that do not even resemble or obey anything of the Buckingham-Darcy type of law that we think govern the flow. And I'll show some examples of that. So if we add to that the fact that we have hydraulic discontinuity at the front, and we really, nobody can tell me what is the hydraulic conductivity of an infiltration front, nor what is the driving force for infiltration front at the front itself, we shouldn't be so comfortable with our ability to to represent this process physically as we feel now. Not only the motion of the front that is an issue here, but also what happens once the front passes through the porous medium is also an important issue, and to a large extent is defined by those little pore scale processes that I'll try to illustrate in a few slides. So again, this is known, and many of the impacts of these displacement processes on hydraulic functions, all the way from hysteresis to dynamic capillary pressure and so on, have their roots in the dynamics of what happens at the front. And typically they are dismissed as peculiar processes. You know, they call them the devil staircase or Haynes jump and so on, but there is no fundamental description of what happens there, and none of this is really just a peculiar process, and that's what we'll try to bring here in the talk. So the objectives are part of a larger, of course, strategy, but today what I'll talk about is new abilities to measure these individual motions of interfaces at the pore scale. To measure, meaning not only the morphology, but also the speed of these, how these interfaces move about. And we selected a simple system of sintered glass beads in which we can manipulate and observe the processes themselves. During these jumps and bursts, we can actually hear acoustic emission. This is a release of elastic energy from these processes, as well as measure very rapid pressure jumps. So we will try to link those experimentally at the moment to the jump. So we'll try and correlate these two for later on to be used when we cannot actually observe what happens in the soil to interpret these processes through their acoustic emissions and pressure jumps. And finally, we'll try and do modeling of this acoustic emission and pressure jump generating processes. This is the first part. The second part will be how to link it to the pore scale, and that relates to the nice talk of Hans-Jörg Vogel before the lunch. This is where he left, and basically what we're doing is basically to pick up and try to provide some physics of these processes. The tools at our disposal are a fast or rapid camera that can collect very fast images, thousands per second, so we can actually have a highly resolved motion of these interfaces. Coupled with those, we can measure acoustic emissions in along the column with this acquisition system, and that can actually measure all the emissions that happens in a drainage front, at least at this scale of problem. We can measure millions of events and resolve them. And in addition, we have a measurement of with a tensiometer of rapid pressure jumps. And we can manipulate, as I said, with a syringe pump, whether it is a drainage or imbibition. And we apply also some analytical tool, and that is the full momentum balance, not only the capillary equilibrium that is commonly used, but also the full momentum balance, and I'll explain that. So what are the results that one gets from these simple experiments? When you see this drainage front moving down this small column, this will be the imprint of the pressure, and the tensiometer located somewhere here. What you see is that as the air enters, there is a jump in the capillary pressure marking the air entry value, and then there is the gradual drop as the hydrostatic distance between the front and the tensiometer diminishes. Superimposed on this classical curve, you have these fluctuations in pressure that are a function of whether you have high flow rate or low flow rate. The amplitudes vary from plus minus 0.3 millibars to plus minus 1 millibar. And in fact, if I reverse the process to imbibition, the jumps are not symmetrical exactly as Hans Jörg showed in his analysis of the results. So the message here is that these jumps are not random. They are associated with the processes. And they are also associated with the boundary condition displacement, whether it is drainage or imbibition, the size of the pores, and also the velocity of the front. The next of all the gigabytes of imagery that we collect with a fast camera, I can show you only this very quick movie here. And what you'll see is the front moving from left to right, first at normal speed and then at slowed down speed. So look at the front here. This is the process. It looks quite regular, but when you zoom in time, what you see is this wobbly invasion, and most of the time, nothing happens. So the striking result from my point of view is the fact that, A, the motions, when they happen at a much higher velocity. This is a jump velocity versus an event. This is the average motion of the front here. And these are the individual jumps that make up this motion. So most of these motions happen at a much higher speed than the front. In fact, maybe 5 to 20 times. They are very fast, and they carry with them a lot of inertia. The Reynolds number here is 500, meaning 500 times inertial to viscous forces in these jumps. It is interesting that most of the time, really, the front is not doing anything. So it sits there, coils, and then releases. During this process, I just showed an illustration that we can measure these acoustic emissions as they are generated and relate them to particular events. To look at the process more closely, this is more or less a sequence, you know, that I could draw with this GIF generator, showing that as water is withdrawn from the bottom, we have a coiling of the interfaces all along the front, and then one gives in, and we have this burst. And this will be described by one of these pressure jumps, where you have pressure becomes negative and then rebounces. Fluid is now redistributed back to the interfaces, and in fact can even push the interfaces back. And with these events, we have these acoustic emissions also generated. The impressive thing is that the velocities of these jumps are very, very fast. You know, in this case, it is 70 millimeters per second. Before talking more about acoustic emissions, I'd like to point out, and really in line of the last two talks, that the hydrodynamics of pore-scale processes, capillary pore-scale processes, are completely different than the ones that one envisions when you do the characteristic curve or the equilibrium. We have very small pores. And if you look at the example of water entry into a capillary, the capillary rise problem, if you look at the first microseconds, the velocities of water entering a capillary at the first milliseconds can vary from 0.4 to 4 meters per second as pore changes from 1 millimeter to 10 microns. So if you're looking at the soil with the average pore size of 10 microns, we're talking about 4 meters per second. And that's the speed in which the interface will move into the pore. So if you look at the full momentum balance equation, we usually balance the capillary pressure with the gravity for the retention curve. But for these short events, we have to look at inertia. So when you balance these two, this is the result of this calculation. What happens is that when the interface moves into the pore at that speed, and the pore is very short, the interface arrives at the end of the pore, and something needs to happen to dissipate that energy. And what usually happens is that interface basically oscillates because it cannot move forward. It is pinned. So the energy is basically dissipates as oscillation that one can calculate. And we can actually measure it. I don't know if those of you who paid attention in a previous movie, there was actually some wobbly motion every time an invasion happened. So those are actually translated to acoustic emissions and to pressure oscillations. And because the jump has a finite time associated with it, for different speeds of the invasion or the drainage front, we can get different combination of these jumps, and therefore we can have different outcomes for the same fixed pore space. So this is quite important, in my opinion, that you can, from superposition of many oscillations in a front, you can get destabilization and you get different outcome. It's not random because if we can get our hands on the exact calculation, we can actually predict it. Back to acoustic emission, I want to mention to you that these are, again, a way to interrogate the process. This is an example of number of acoustic emissions versus the amplitude for drainage fronts in three different sizes of glass beads. This is the small glass bead. This is the large glass bead. So there is some ordering. Also, there is the relationship obeys a power law. So the process itself looks like an avalanche process. You have an invasion and then a cascade of invasions that happen at the same time. I can show you also results of changing acoustic emission with the velocity of the front. In other words, the message here is not so much that this is acoustic emission. These are processes generated during this displacement process that carry the characteristics of the process. So we can interrogate this process from the outside, for example, by listening to it. The mechanism of generation are not completely clear. I mentioned one. This is the oscillations, but we have snap-off processes. We have interfacial reconfigurations to minimize energy, and so on. This is still a topic of ongoing research. Just to reflect on where we stand that at the front here, we have poorly defined conditions in terms of continuity and driving forces. I mentioned that. And the liquid motions here, the motion of the front, the macroscopic motion is run by an incredible number of small pistons that operate at much, much higher velocity. And in fact, I think even that part is known. And I'm reading from Davidson's paper from 1966, looking at the effect of the pressure boundary condition on the sample on the resulting hydraulic functions. And he writes that the size of the pressure increment or redistribution rate, that is the drainage rate, will control not only the number of pore sequences which fill and conduct water, but will result in a different water content distribution within the pore sequences. And that's exactly, this is precisely what happens, and we can actually film it. And I was quite struck by the insight that is in this particular paper from 1966. So resolving this pore displacement dynamics would allow us perhaps to convert from dismissing these events as random or as esoteric to something that is predictive. So perhaps following the line of Marcel, we can actually predict onset of hysteresis. One last point before I finish, and you're not breathing in my neck yet, so that's pretty good, is the issue of transient versus steady conditions. Even when we talk about hydrodynamics, we absolutely have to make a distinction between transient conditions like I described at the front and what happened behind the front where things stabilized back to steady conditions. Both of these are unsaturated flows. Both of these involved hydrodynamics, but one is transient and one is steady. And in fact, a recent paper from Physical Review Letters by the group in Norway demonstrated the existence of a characteristic length that develops, that marks the transition from a transient passage of a front to a steady regime in which our standard hydraulic functions are defined again. So there is that length is dependent on boundary conditions and so on. So there is some hope to actually quantify when we can use our hydraulic functions that are postulating steady state conditions and when we should not, and use some other description. So to summarize, what we show here very briefly is that pore-scale processes at displacement front show complex behavior, and they are measurable by tensiometers and acoustic emissions. These pore-scale processes are not just of academic interest, because they actually shape what happens afterwards when the front passes. In every front, if the weight passes through the porous medium, it paints behind it a completely different picture. It could paint behind it a completely different picture that we have to live with later on when we describe transport processes. We showed some observational tools. They are not the only ones, but they are up and coming, and there is some electrical method to capture this rich behavior. And I would like to point out, and it's something that is only recently I became aware of, that there is a quite important transition from the transient front motion to the steady flows that happens, or a feed the front, that happens behind the front. And those distinguishing those two will actually help us gain deeper understanding of the hydraulic function and what we do with them. Before I finish, I'd like to thank the DFG for supporting this MUSIS project, that project on interfacial flows in unsaturated porous media, part of which Hans-Jörg Vogel is, and he didn't thank the DFG. So thank you very much for your attention.